1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
10.
Touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
What a tackle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
All right, we're coming on back for another episode of the Scolgers Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Brownmarkle. With me, as always, Mike Anderson. Mike, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well.
All right, so for the viewers out there, the listeners out there, let's just say we've had a little bit of time to let this potential should have been win wash away from us, this horrible loss. That's away. We're now on to the Rams. However, I missed this last episode, and I have to mention this. A coworker of mine, he who shall not be named, for obvious reasons, picked the Buffalo Bills to win 28-7 last week. All right. What I do is on my whiteboard, I put up the two teams, and I have people put up their score predictions. So, he's currently being shunned by me. Just want to ask you if you think that's the reason why we lost, because he put the bad juju on us, or not, and then we'll move on to the Rams.
I don't think, no, that's probably not the reason.
The answer is supposed to be yes, Mike. He screwed us. He's the reason why.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the reason why.
Okay, perfect. All right, I got that out of the way. So, you know who you are. You screwed us. You're dead to me. Not really. I love you, bro, but kind of hate you right now. Anyway, we're on to the Rams. So, Mike, going on to the Rams. What situation are we in?
We're not in a good situation.
Well, it could be worse, right?
I can't really think of a way it's worse. I guess we could have lost previous games, but I don't know of a worse situation going into this game.
Okay, so we take on the Rams at home, who are currently 3-0.
Well, after... we take on the Rams. Yeah, we're playing at the Rams, yes.
Yeah, so we take on the Rams at their home. Sorry, I phrased that incorrectly. They're coming off a 3-game win streak, putting up wins against Oakland, Arizona, and most recently the Chargers.
Yes.
Now, I wasn't able to watch much of the Chargers game. Did you catch any of that? What did you see from that? Is there any stats we can gather from that before we get started in this week's preview of Vikings at Rams?
That game was kind of on a far screen for me. I certainly didn't watch it intently. I mean, the Rams, you know, had a relatively comfortable lead, I think, the whole game. They ended up winning the game by 12 points. I guess some things to note on that. Gurley had 23 for 105. Goff threw, it was 29 for 36 for 354 and 3, which I've got to imagine is pretty damn close to a perfect passer rating.
Sure.
He did have one INT, but Robert Woods had 10 for 104. Gurley had another 5 for 51 on the ground. So, I mean, this is a high octane team. I think that they have put up 30 some points in every game because, I mean, 35 this week. They blanked the Cardinals 34 zip previously, and then I guess maybe week one, I don't remember that final, that might have been just a little bit lower, but certainly I think they're close to averaging 30 a game. So for a defense that just gave up 27 or whatever it was to a Bills team at home, it's definitely concerning. And then you look at the other side of the ball for them. They've got an absolute monster set up in the interior with Sue and Donald, arguably the best player not only at his position but possibly in the NFL, depending who you talk to. They do have, when healthy, some electric corners in Marcus Peters and Talib. But it sounds like the Vikings are going to get lucky, or however you want to phrase it. As we've stated many, many, many times, we never hope for injuries, but it sounds like Talib is going to be out 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain, and Marcus Peters is probably at least going to miss this game. So I think they're going to be hurting a little bit. You know, it is a short week for them as well. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, it's always,
I say Thursday night games are kind of a toss up, especially when you're looking at two teams that relatively should be this close in talent level. So dialing back just a little bit to your two-headed monster in the middle of the field, how do we slow Sue and Donald down? What can we do to kind of limit their impact to our offense? Because obviously we're coming off a game where the offensive line caused us a great deal of heartache on the offensive side of the ball. So how can we effectively limit those guys and maybe get our offense rolling a bit better?
Well, I think prayer is probably the best way to go. You know, that's really what I think each of us can do. But from a Viking standpoint, I think ultimately they're going to have to get creative, right? It's not just going to be the offensive line. They're going to need help. You're going to need help from the running backs. You're going to need help from the tight ends. And then also you're going to want a game plan to try to throw those guys off.
Sure.
You know, whether that be quick passes, whether that be different looks or formations, you know, it's not a nice thing, but I guess obviously we've known that they've got these two, right? You know, there's a couple games now of tape on them. Certainly I would not have wanted to have been Oakland week one, where you had to play them without, you know, any footage really of the two playing together. But you know, they've been monsters and they're very disruptive football players. And I think Sue has kind of caught a second wind here playing alongside Donald, and those two are just absolute monsters. So, you know, I think that the Vikings just, it's got to come from all places. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you know, player X, player Y has to just man up and block, because I don't think that's a good strategy.
Right.
I think we will lose in that situation. I'm sure that, you know, you might possibly have a few things that you'd like to see specifically in the trenches that they can do. But I think it's really going to come down to, you know, utilizing the running backs, you know, as some help. Maybe we see some two running back sets this week. And then also, you know, I think trying to get that ball out relatively quickly, especially with those two corners being out, you know, our receivers might be able to take advantage of some of these guys that, you know, normally are our third, fourth, fifth string. So that's kind of my thought. I don't know. What about you? How do you slow those guys down?
I think for me, it's going to be a very complex answer. I think, like you said, you got to bring in tight ends. You got to bring in running backs to help with this. But just from a strictly offensive line side of it, from the Vikings side, Elfline played, I believe, 22 or so snaps last week. It looks like he's going to be starting this week. So how does that reconfiguration work and end up gelling with the Vikings? I think we're seeing probably a third different configuration starting this week with the O-line. probably not third starting, but third overall configuration with Elfline back in their starting. Does Jones kick out to left guard? Do they practice him at guard all week? Because I think he's a stronger guard than Compton is. Does that possibly help you shore up your interior to where now you can double team and give help to Remmers, who surrendered 8 pressures last game? What does it mean with Hill possibly being out? I think he was limited today, if they would have actually fully practiced. And same with Reef. How bad is that foot injury? Especially for guys in the trenches, foot injuries or ankle injuries can be devastating, because they rely on that movement quite a bit. And anything that hinders that just a little bit is just absolutely crushing when trying to keep up with some of these rushers. And the Rams have got a stellar front four. So to me, I'm looking at, on the injury report, that the last injury report that comes out Wednesday, what ends up showing up? Is Reef going to be out? If so, then we're really going to need to manufacture some kind of help to this offensive line in the form of sticking a tight end there almost entirely and just basically creating a heavy package almost every single down and chipping with the running backs in the backfield. If Dalvin's back, that I think that's a huge plus for pass protection, because he's typically very strong in that. He can see pass blocking a lot better than I think the other two backs that we have can. So we'll get into him a little bit later, but there's a lot of fluidity on the offensive line right now, and I'm agreeing with you quite a bit that I don't think that you can just go one-on-one with our offensive line against their D-line. There's going to need to be a lot of help. There's going to need to be scheme help, get the ball out quick, and take advantage of, as you alluded to, the two cornerbacks that are going to be missing from their lineup. So going along that route, what kind of passing attack do you see us kind of trying to do? Is it going to be more tight end base? Is it going to be just some of these shallow crosses like Thielen usually hits? Or are we going to try some deep shots sometimes and just take the risk that the pass rush gets there?
I think we will take some deep shots. Down those two corners is huge. And so I think that certainly with Diggs and the speed that he has on the outside, I would assume that they will set up in a road game against one of the better teams in the league, certainly in the NFC. I think the Vikings are viewing this as kind of a must-win game, if you will. And so I think you might see a few plays that we haven't seen before this year. I'm not necessarily going trickery, but I think a couple of select plays that, you know, specifically are waiting for these sorts of scenarios, these sorts of games. Sure. So I do see us taking a shot. I hope Delvin is healthy. I think that him being the lead back versus Latavius, it just makes this offense so much more dynamic. His ability to cut it and what he can do after the ball, and especially throwing to him, getting him the ball in space. I just think that, it's an entirely different offense with Dalvin Cook under in the backfield. So I am hoping that he is healthy enough to play. Certainly this weekend he said he was playing for sure, but then today, he said he was going to see how it feels. So I don't know, is that a regression or is that him, being told by the coaches, let's keep the cards a little tighter to the vest here.
Sure.
I don't know, but I certainly hope, that he is able to play because, you're talking about what I truly believe will be one of the better running backs in the league for many years to come. And I think him being back there is going to be huge for us if they want to win this football game.
Right. And I think that also stems back to the offensive line and what we can do to mask the issues, because we haven't been great by any measure on run blocking in addition to pass blocking. So how you scheme that, maybe you run a couple more bounces to the outside to try and get the ground game moving a little bit more, try to control the pace of that game. Because we've seen firsthand last week how these games can get out of hand if you don't at least try to control the pace of the game and get it back to a speed where you can handle it. So I think you're hitting the nail right there. I think Dalvin versus Latavius, it just brings that extra gear and that extra little shiftiness and that extra little bit in the passing game. And I know Murray can catch the ball, but if you put the ball in Delvin's hands, good things happen. We've seen that through the first 2 weeks, and then he was out this week. So just get him the ball and just let him work some magic, because right now we kind of need that. We're reeling from this last game. We kind of need a little bit of magic, a couple little breaks to go our way, and maybe we can get some momentum going. And before we know it, maybe we're up by 10 and the Rams are reeling. Who knows?
Right. I think just touching on, Reef, he finished the game out for the most part, right? It was probably one of the worst games that he's had as a professional. But to me, I guess, doesn't that mean he's probably going to be out there on Thursday? I guess to me, when a guy finishes out a game, I don't know. I think I'm expecting him to be out there. I don't know that he's going to be 100%, but I think that having a guy out there of his caliber, now, again, we didn't see it last week, but having that depth, especially against some of the weapons that the Rams have, I think that it's going to be key that he's out there. And I start to get a little bit concerned, if he's out, we're really starting to get slim on that O-line, especially, you know, Hill kind of tweaked himself a little bit again last week. And, I mean, all of a sudden you're one injury away from, like, you know.
Well, okay.
I can't even comprehend where we would be heading at that point. But
so, okay, so let's just map this out. So let's say, for instance, that Reef is out and Hill is good to go, at least to start the game. So that configuration then would be Hill, Jones or Compton, Elfline, Remmers, and then Brian O'Neill. Let's just say Hill then goes down. What I would envision would happen there is then you'd have Brian O'Neill shift to the left with pretty much a tight end covering him 100% of the time to help chip that. Jones / Compton, Elfline, Isadora, and then Remmers would slide out to right tackle. So I agree we're getting pretty thin at that point, but as long as the injury to Hill is not significant and as long as Reef thinks he can go and be reasonably okay, I think we'll be all right. But I've said this previous times, and we've been sitting there with the TJ Clemmings experiment in the past. So it's one of those things where I don't know how it's going to shake out based on what we saw today in the injury report. Reef was a surprise in that report. So I don't know if that's precautionary. They didn't practice, so I don't know if they just put him on there and said, yeah, he probably went to practice. Like, maybe it was just like some kind of bruise or something, and he just went to practice because he needed a little bit more heel time. I don't know. Off of one report, it's very difficult to tell the severity, and especially in a short week, it's very difficult to tell how people's bodies will respond to an injury that usually is minor, but now you have 3 days less to deal with it.
Right.
So at this point, I don't know how they deal with that. And maybe it's as simple as, okay, Hill is at 90%, Reef is at 70%. We want to have a 90% at our left tackle, so we're going to shove Hill at left tackle. We're going to put Brian O'Neill on at right tackle, who seemed like he was doing all right, and then see how the game flow goes and chip and help whoever needs it more.
Sure.
I don't know. It's a tough situation, and one we've been in quite a bit, and I don't want any of our listeners out there to think that we're not throwing resources at this, because we are. But we should probably be firing some of our scouts that are scouting out offensive line talent, because it's not working. It's not developing properly. Now, you could say we've relatively hit on Elfline and O'Neill, but prior to that, free agent pickups, draft picks have not turned out exceptionally well. And even these signings of Reef and Remmers, especially the Remmers one, leaves a little bit to be desired, to be honest, in my opinion. So, I don't know. This is something we definitely can't fix outright this season. We don't have the resources to do it. So what we have right now is what we have to work with.
Yep. No, I know that's the situation. It's just,
yeah, it's,
I feel like we're walking that line right now, you know, and things are going to go one way or the other. I really don't know which way that is, but I don't know. I'm a little worried. Just, I think it could be matchup driven, obviously. But you know, it's something to watch. And I know all of our listeners and fans certainly across the state are, probably biting the fingernails a little bit, just thinking about, you know, Sue and Donald. And I'm just thinking about the health of our quarterback and yeah, everything else. But,
well, you bring up Kirk Cousins. So what does Kirk Cousins need to do differently to have a bit more success this game than he did last week?
I think he's just got to be a little bit more confident. And just, he seemed a little flustered. And granted, he was getting hit from every which direction, mostly from his left side. But, you know, I think he's got to just be confident, look at, you know, make sure he's checking all reads, and just continue to deliver a good football. I mean, that's the one thing that has pretty much stayed consistent. He's delivered a good football here over the last three games, I think. You know, even though he threw 55 times, he had 40 completions last week?
A bulk of them were in garbage time, but I mean, what can he do with it?
But you know what? Like you said, this is an offense that still is learning some things about it. It's brand new and a lot of new moving pieces. So even though it's garbage time, it's still good that it was happening.
Right.
So I think just kind of reset you know, let's forget about last week, you know, burn the tape, whatever the cliched sayings are. But I think I look for Cousins to really come in and have a solid game. I think him more than anyone is going to want to, you know, come out and play really well in prime time, first prime time game really since, you know, signing the big contract.
Sure.
And he knows everyone's going to be watching. They're going to be talking about that contract. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of – I think just be him and just I want to see a little bit more poise in that pocket. Hopefully he's got the time to stay poised and then just, you know, do what he does best, deliver a good football.
Sure. So you brought up kind of a bounce back for Kirk that needs to happen, and I bring up the saying, it's not a sin to get knocked down. It's a sin not to get back up. Vikings were knocked down handily last week. All right.
Yep.
That's going to happen. All right. How do you respond? How do you get back up? What do you do when you get punched in the mouth? You come back swinging? Yep. Or do you fall over and stay down?
Right.
That's what we're talking about here. So you got any keys to this game that we absolutely have to do to make this a win?
Well, I think the obvious thing is you need to probably come out ahead in the turnover battle. Cousins had a couple fumbles last week. The Green Bay game, we had issues with balls going off receivers' hands. Laquan Treadwell, but that happened again last week too. Latavius Murray had one go through the hands. So I think let's hang on to the football, and then, you know, I think we're probably due for a pick. Maybe you get Gurley to cough one up, but let's come out on the right end of the turnover battle, and certainly. I'm not saying if there's one turnover in the game and it's ours, we can't win, but we can't have this multiple turnover stuff going on, especially on the road against an opponent like the Rams. So I think, I know that's an obvious one for most, you know, any given Sunday, but in this game, this matchup, I think it's going to be crucial that the Vikings come out. Yep. Yep.
I think I'd agree with you there. And I think the second thing that we need to make sure that happens is, we limit the impact of that interior line. Like you said, that has such an ability to wreak havoc. It's orders of magnitude more important than it was this week against Buffalo. Yeah. And we saw what happened when we let them get to Kirk. So however you limit that, you limit that by chipping, you limit that by changing your game scheme a little bit, changing the play calls a little bit to try and get the ball out quicker. You have to address that. You have to not let that be a driving force in your offensive success. You have to limit what they can do, because I think the receivers are going to be open. They're going to be there. It's just whether or not you have time enough to look.
Right. And I guess another thing that jumps out to me is tackling. You know, we've had a couple issues here in the last few games where we're not making tackles when we could. So let's make sure we're wrapping up. As we know, Gurley's an explosive back with a lot of moves. I'm sure the goal is going to be to try to bottle him up and contain him as best you can. He's going to get some yards. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be smart for us to say, oh, hold Gurley to under 40 yards, whatever. He's going to get yards. You hope he doesn't get it in, you know, you hope he doesn't get it in big chunks, but he's probably going to see the ball. He's going to see 20 carries. He's going to see some targets, whatever. But let's make sure we're tackling, especially in open space.
Make sure the yak is limited.
Yep. And then, you know, the other thing is, I think with Goff, let's try to get him flustered a little bit. You know, let's not let him sit back there and then pick apart the defense. He's thrown for 350 twice this year. That's a lot of yards. He's got some touchdowns. He's playing with a lot of confidence right now. Let's try to get, you know, let's try to get in his head a little bit. Make him think he's got to get that ball out quick. You know, I think let's get some pressure. At this point, it doesn't look like we're probably going to have Everson this week, but you know, I think that there are other guys that are fully capable of getting pressure. Maybe we mix in some exotic plays here. I don't know, but I think trying to get Goff flustered would be key too.
Maybe test out the bar as a defensive end theory and see kind of how that plays out a little bit. That was actually my next talking point, is talk about Everson Griffin. Obviously, if you haven't heard yet, which you should if you're a Vikings fan by now. There's a situation, I think, on Saturday, something with him at a hotel, some altercation or interaction or something like that. I don't think there was any arrest or anything like that, so I don't think it's legal trouble, but obviously the organization wants to do right by him and make sure that he's all right in all facets of his life. So obviously that'll take precedence over a football game for him, and it should. But like you said, we're fairly deep on the defensive line. It'd be nice to have him, but we still have Danielle Hunter. We still have a couple really good defensive ends, defensive tackles that are honestly should be right up there with the Rams defensive tackles. So it'll still be there. We can still produce some pressure. We got to work on being a little bit less predictable, and we got to be assignment sound, which we failed to do a couple key moments in the last few games, which have caused some of these games to get out of hand or lose control a little bit. For instance, Green Bay, we gave up a couple that were just misassignments. We gave up the touchdown that we gave up to Groom or Foom or whoever the heck that guy was against Buffalo. That was a pure misassignment. That was a miscommunication. You're supposed to hand off the coverage to Kendricks, I believe, and it just got missed. So we got to clean up those things. I think if we do, this game will be competitive. I'm not certain where we're going to end up on this. I don't know. Anything else before we kind of roll into our prediction segments here, Mike? I don't think there's a ton to look at for this game for as far as how we win, because it's a fairly limited scope of how we win.
No, I guess first off, yeah, Griffin, obviously, you know, we hope for him to get healthy, you know, off the football field. Sounds like incident at Minneapolis hotel. And then also now Fox 9 locally here is reporting that he was later arrested that night trying to break into one of his teammates' homes. And so just a weird day. I believe Tom Pelissero tweeted that Griffin's been going through a serious off the field issue for a few weeks now. So something's going on off the field that, you know, obviously he's not right mentally. So let's hope that he gets healthy and is able to come back and contribute, you know, to this football team later this year. But, you know, I guess the other thing that I last thing before we get into the predictions would be my hope would be that it's a big time game, right? It's a prime time game. So let's have one of our, we've got, I was about to say dozens, but, and honestly, we're getting close to that, but we have so many prime time, big time players. And so do the Rams. So I think that this game is going to be, let the biggest playmaker come to play, right? So show me Diggs, you know, Diggs in the spotlight. Show me something like that, whether it be Cousins, Cook, Diggs. Maybe it's Harrison Smith. Maybe it is Xavier Rhodes, who I think has struggled a little bit this year. You know, he hasn't been the same guy, Rhodes closed, so to speak, in my opinion. So I think let's have one of our superstars come out and really win us this football game. And let's hope that it's not one of the superstars that the Rams have.
Sure. Completely agree there. I think we've been relatively quiet on that besides week one with Harrison Smith with his flashy plays. I think everyone's been a little bit quiet. I mean, you can say week two, Kirk Cousins kind of stood up and you know, got us there at the end, but you really only played a good quarter and a half if you really break it down. So, I mean, I don't know how much you can really put that on the superstar showing out against Green Bay. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. Let's have Xavier go for two picks and take one to the house. Just turn the tide of the game, you know.
Yeah.
Something like that, that just make a statement and say, no, we're here. We're just as good as you. Let's play.
Yep.
All right. So I think that's going to wrap it up because there's not a whole lot more that we can talk about because so much happened in the Buffalo game. You just got to get back to basics. Just take care of your own business. And hopefully the rest takes care of itself. Into our prediction segment, though. Minnesota at LAR. What do you got for score, Mike?
Oh, boy. You know, I'm going to – we were so high, and we still are, I know. But it's tough to predict them to win this game based on what we saw last week, right? We've now finding out there's off the field things going on. We're injured, and granted, we did get Elfline back, and most of the superstars, if we get Delvin back, will be back. But from what we saw, I think it would be hard. It would have been hard pressed for any of us to pick them to win on Thursday, short week, etc.
Sure.
I think what changed that for me is two things: the key injuries to Talib and Peters. That is huge. That is massive, 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 massive. Those are two of their best players on defense. And I think that, you know, you're talking Diggs, Thielen, some really good receivers that have had pretty good games so far. So I think that's now a matchup that we can take advantage of. And so I'm going to say, because of that and because of, I don't think Zimmer's going to let this team get hit in the mouth like that back-to-back weeks. And I think that this truly is a championship caliber team.
He's back.
I'm gonna go with them one more time here, and I'm gonna hope they don't burn me. I'm gonna say 26-24. Dan Bailey is good from 47 to win it.
Dan Bailey,
as time expires.
All right, that's a score. Yep. I am a little bit less optimistic, to be completely honest with you. As much as I totally love the concept that Mike Zimmer isn't going to let the team show out twice like that, I don't think we show out poorly. I think this is a fight. I think this actually goes to overtime. All right, but I have the Rams winning in overtime 26-23. All right. I have Dan Bailey kicking us into overtime, you know, to tie that up. But
okay.
I don't think we're able to pull it off. Short week after the loss we just took, we'll show out. We'll be competitive. I have a tough time putting us on a win in this game. But I think the momentum we carry from this close loss into Philadelphia gets us a W in Philadelphia.
And I guess, you know, you're obviously jumping ahead with that, but like I said, this one of these two games I had pegged for a loss going into the year. It's just right now with those two injuries, I think that really does change the game quite a bit. And I think with Cousins, with those receivers, I'm hopeful that our defense, even without Everson most likely, is going to be able to disrupt just as much as they are. And I think I like Cousins, Diggs, Thielen better than I like, you know, Goff, and then, you know, whoever you want to do, Woods, Cook, Kupp, you know, they got a variety of guys that catch the ball, Gurley himself. So I don't know. I'm gonna go with this for one more week. I'm gonna try to come back and be on the optimism here, you know, let's hope.
Let's see what we got. You know, that's all we got right now. So. So second game that we predict, Buffalo at Green Bay. We get to talk more Buffalo. Buffalo going to do the same to Green Bay?
I don't know. I mean, I think I've got one of these damn games right so far since we've been doing this. So,
no, you're more than that. You got about four right now.
I mean, since that's the case, I guess I'll go with Green Bay in hopes that I'm wrong.
Okay. So you're going Green Bay.
I don't know. I don't think Rodgers is going to lose back-to-back games, especially. I mean, they didn't look that great. I know he is banged up, and certainly Green Bay is going to have to deal with another Clay Matthews roughing the passer this week, I'm sure. But I don't know. I guess Green Bay is tough to beat at home, so I'll say they get it done, and Buffalo can't shock the world back-to-back weeks.
I think I agree with that. I think... Rodgers is a bit more adept at avoiding that type of pressure that Cousins was seeing. So even if they get it, they'll be able to handle what Buffalo can throw. And barring Buffalo doing the same thing that they did to Minnesota, getting that back-to-back strip sacks on back-to-back Viking possessions, I just don't see it. As much as they beat us down, they're not that great of a team where they should be able to do it to two playoff-caliber teams in a row like this.
Great.
Just
great.
it's just not likely. If it happens, you know what, Buffalo fans, you'll have my thanks because you would have taken Green Bay down a game. I have a tough time seeing it.
Yep.
So your pick was New Orleans at New York Giants.
Yeah.
What do we got here, Mikey?
You got a fun game. So Giants, you know, a team that I like to improve quite a bit this year, actually go in and get a win last week against Houston. And they've been right in most of the games this year. You know, they almost beat Jacksonville. They probably should have if Eli would have hit Odell on a couple throws. So I like this Giants team. And I think that they really are starting to believe in themselves. Saquon looks like the real deal. And then you've got Odell, who I think is due to have a really big game. So I'm actually going to take the Giants in this one. And I'm thinking Odell has one of his vintage, like, three TD games. And they get it done.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to hardcore disagree with you on this. I think New Orleans is putting up some good stuff right now. I think they just handled Atlanta in a shootout. So I don't think that the Giants can handle what New Orleans is about to throw at them.
Right.
I don't think they got it. I mean, I'm with you there. I think the Saquon getting rolling, that's I think been due for the last couple weeks. Odell, well, we know who Odell is. It's just going to be a matter of can Eli Manning keep pace with those two, because that's what you're fighting right now. You're fighting against the Eli Manning clock,
right?
At what
right.
point does that shoe fall off, and you know you're dealing with aging Peyton Manning who can't even do anything in Denver, and they have to win it by defense,
right?
So yeah, I'm taking New Orleans all the way on that one. That one's a fairly easy one for me. But you know what? I've been wrong on some of these games that should have been an easy pick. So who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Detroit at Dallas. Detroit coming hot off their win against the New England Patriots. What Oof. Do you got, Mike?
That's at Dallas, you said?
At Dallas.
You know what? Why don't you give me Detroit in this game?
Taking Detroit.
I don't really have a rhyme or reason to it, but, you know, I think I'm going to go with teams that are playing well from the previous week, you know, and I know that kind of counteracts my strategy of picking the Vikings to beat the Rams, but I think this is a close game, probably a toss-up, and I think I like Detroit a little bit more from the offensive side of the ball, and coming off their first 100-yard rusher since 2013 last week.
Just an insane stat, man.
Yeah, so maybe they ride high on that, and I'll say they get it done.
I think I got to agree with you on that one. I don't think Dallas is reeling right now. They let a mediocre Seattle team beat them pretty handily, from at least what the box score says. So Detroit coming high off that win against Tom Brady and the Pats. I mean, they're obviously having a down year, the Patriots are, but still, that's a tough, tough game to win. And in that fashion that they did it, I mean, you got to be, if you're a Detroit fan, you got to be thinking, okay, we might have something here now. We might have a guy that can finally turn this around and maybe give us a little bit of hope. Because you're right. Starting to see these guys buy in, you're starting to see some of the stuff gel. Yeah, I think that continues through week four, and we, you know, this division, this NFC North division, is becoming quite the show again. You got Chicago currently in the lead at 2-1. You got Detroit, who's coming off a nice win off of New England, and there's a very good chance the Vikings could be sitting at third or fourth place at the end of this week, this next week here.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that's something that I wouldn't even fathom. I would have been able to say.
I think that we had a very difficult schedule to start. You know, you had a 49ers team that had won many games in a row last year, and you know the rest of it. You got Green Bay, you got the Rams, you got Philly, and apparently you got the Bills. But I don't know, it's a long season, and I think let's look at getting better this week as a football team and try to sneak out of there with a W. And you know what? Then all of a sudden you got 10 days until Philadelphia, and we know we're not going to need any motivation for that game. So I don't know. Let's take it one day at a time, and luckily we don't have many more days without football here. So,
right, like they say, the next game, the most important game is the next game. Most important play is the next play. You know, so take it one play at a time, one game at a time, and you know, end of the season, all the wins and losses count the same. So, if we take 2-0 against Rams and Philadelphia, you know what, that Buffalo loss doesn't feel so bad.
Yep.
So let's go out there. Let's get it done. Skolgers.com. That's where you're at now. I'm at Namok7 on the Twitter.
Musky_Mike.
We're on the Climbing the Pocket podcast network. Take a look. They got some good stuff going on over there. Any closing thoughts?
I don't know. Let's have some faith. Hashtag faith. And, you know, you just got to believe that they're going to come out and look like a completely different football game or football team than they were on Sunday. So let's hope that that's the case. And then we know we're going to have a lot of fun in the 10 days leading up to the rematch in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. So some stuff to look forward to. We'll see you next time. Skol.